this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some fascinating guests lined up. In the first half, we're going to talk to Jason Watkins about the three stages of immunity. And in the second half, we are going to have Carla Wainwright on, and we're going to talk about the divine feminine Shakti energy. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Pregnant women with COVID-19 have little risk of developing severe symptoms, as do their newborns, a new study finds. In fact, 95% of these women have good outcomes, and just 3% of their babies test positive for COVID-19, researchers say. Study lead author Dr. Emily Adhikari said for 5% of COVID-19 positive pregnant women, however, those who get very sick, the risks to both mother and baby are significant. She is the medical director of perinatal infectious diseases at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. Pregnancy itself, however, does not appear to increase the odds for COVID complications, she said. Most women with asymptomatic or mild infection will be believed to know that their babies are unlikely to be affected by the virus, she added. The findings were published online November 19th in the journal JAMA Network Open. A procedure that freezes bits of heart tissue may be a better option than medication for people with atrial fibrillation, or AFib, two clinical trials have found. AFib is a common heart arrhythmia in which the organ's upper chambers beat erratically. Right now, the standard first-line treatment is medication, said Dr. Jason Andrade, lead researcher on one of the new studies. Those drugs help control the heart's rate and rhythm. If they fail to do that, patients may move on to another option called ablation. The two new trials challenge the notion that ablation should only be a second option. The findings were simultaneously published November 16th in the New England Journal of Medicine and reported at an online meeting of the American Heart Association. With COVID-19 cases on the rise and cold and flu season well underway, people are seeking ways to boost their disease defenses. Sales of immune health supplements are projected to grow from $16 billion in 2019 to $29 billion by 2027, spurred in part by the pandemic, according to research from Fortune Business Insights. But could a supplement give you an extra edge against illness? Barry Fox, an infectious disease specialist at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, says there's no magic bullet to bolster the immune system. Experts say that a good diet, plenty of sleep, and regular exercise will get you started in the right direction, along with practices like meditation or yoga for stress relief. The novel coronavirus was circulating in Italy as early as September 2019, according to a new study by the country's National Cancer Institute, which looked for the virus in blood samples in Milan. That means the coronavirus may have spread beyond China months earlier than scientists originally believed, according to Reuters. According to the study, Italy's first documented COVID-19 patient was on February 21st in a small town near Milan. However, the researchers knew the virus was likely circulating before that, so they analyzed blood samples of people enrolled in a lung cancer screening trial between September 2019 and March 2020. They found COVID-19 antibodies in 111 of 959 people, or nearly 12%.
We have Jason Watkins with us today. He's a formulator, a microbiologist, a co-founder of Purica, and he has a PhD in nutrition. So he's been at this health journey a long time for all things healthy and healing. And it's wonderful to have you on today, Jason. We're going to talk about immunity and what that means.
Hello, Kathy. That sounds great. Can you hear me fine?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. Yep, the levels are good. So welcome to the show. We've had you on a few times, and you're just such a wealth of information around using mushrooms, medicinal mushrooms, to bolster our energy, our vibrancy, and now our immunity, too, because that's really something that people need to know, how to get a help with their immune systems and do everything they can that to make it possible for health and strength in the stress that we're in right now. So where do we start?
Okay, yeah, so it's kind of interesting listening to the take there before them talking about different things to improve your immune system. I'm going to get into the aspect, but they're talking about meditation, things to reduce stress, because stress is the number one inhibitor of your immune system, because during a time of fight or flight, the stress response, doesn't matter if you're irritated, impatient, judgment, you feel like guilt-tripping people like people are doing now or things like that, you're still in a stress response because you feel like fighting, you feel that irritation, mm-hmm. or you feel like running, or just I just have to lay down, I can't, all the fight, flight, or freeze. So stress reduction is huge. Mushrooms, I don't know anything better in the industry than medicinal mushrooms and maybe ashwagandha and rhodiola. But this last 2 years, they were saying earlier that the sales of, I just heard on the take before, mm-hmm. that the sales went up for 16, was it 16 million or
it was gonna up double to 27,
and we've seen that right away. That's
right.
What's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get into the immune system then, because obviously everybody's looking, what can I do for my immune system? Like I said, stress reduction is huge, anything you can do there. But what we like to promote, nobody seems to be talking about this at all in any industry that I know of, is the three phases of immunity. So it'll give you an idea of what your forces are, like your force field mm-hmm. that helps you inhibit getting a virus or a bacteria or a fungus or things like that. And there's actually two phases. One's you're innate, you're born with it, and it's non-specific, it attacks everything. And then there's the adaptive, which is what most people think of your immune system, and that's, you know, antibodies and T cells. A lot of people don't know about T cells, but they know about antibodies. So I want to go back to the first one, because that mm-hmm. the antibodies are specific, and they take time to adapt. They're slow to adapt, up to 10 days to form a defense. So in the meantime, you're dependent on the non-specific or innate, the ones you're born with. That one, I like to break it up into two, hence the three phases of immunity. The two is the barrier immunity. That's all your mucous membranes, your skin, your digestive enzymes, your hydrochloric acid, your little cilia in your lungs, which I'll get into. They're your mm-hmm. first line of defense. That's your barrier immunity. Mm-hmm. And then adaptive. And then you have innate and then adaptive.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to try to focus on and make it simple is if something's floating through the air or you've ingested it in your mouth or you have a cut on your skin, so how are you going to stop that from getting into your bloodstream? That's what you're really trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're breathing things in, your first line of defense in this barrier immunity, any kind of particles of anything, even a virus and a fungus, is you have mucous membranes that act like a moat. So right away in your nasal cavity, right in your mouth, and your whole digestive tract, respiratory tract, genital urinary tract, you have that moat. That's trapping things up.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that moat are little enzymes and things like that, or in this case, the stomach, you have acids that further will break those things down. But in your lungs specifically, you have little hair-like structures called cilia, and they're sweeping upwards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to basically get you to pull it up, and then you swallow it, and it goes to your digestive tract. The little cilia can get stunned, basically, or paralyzed by certain things that you may do, which inhibits their action of cleansing your lungs of, say, these little particles.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is drinking too much alcohol. So if you have, say, more than two drinks in a short period of time, that's going to numb the cilia. That's why when people used to go to the bars and that, and you're smoking, or they're smoking in the bar,
mm-hmm.
the next morning you could wake up and you could see, even if you only had a couple of drinks, that you have this, you're trying to cough stuff up.
Yeah.
That's because the cilia stopped working and whatever you were breathing in was going deeper into your lungs. So obviously you don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
The little cilia and the mucosal membranes keep that going up, and then you swallow it. And when you swallow it, you start to break it down with salivary enzymes. But then you start to break it down further in the mucosal moat, down your stomach with hydrochloric acid and PEPs, different kinds of protein digesting enzymes. And then in your intestinal tract, further, these freshwater enzymes, different things, and the pancreas shoots out enzymes, and those break it down further. And then it has to go further, and when it gets in there, that's your microbiome, or all the different microbes that live in your tract that actually help you to produce nutrients, but also help you to defend against potential pathogenic or disease-causing organisms. And then that is coordinated by the underlying epithelial cells that produce these compounds called defensins. And the defensins are like little herders or farmers that are working with all your microbiome, all the different microbes that live in your tract that help you to defend you and produce nutrients. It works with that, and that coordinates your immune system. And interestingly enough, a lot of those different functions are highly dependent on vitamin D. They have receptors for vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
And so at certain times of the year when there's less sun and you're getting less D, you're much more susceptible to getting sick. And I mean, that's what they've been talking about too with, say, things like vitamin D and 80% of the severe COVID issues, they had severe vitamin D issues. So, you know, getting more sunshine or eating foods that are rich in vitamin D, that kind of thing. And then inside your tract, maybe I'll break it up a little bit, but that's where you're starting to take nutrients that actually improve the functioning of all aspects of the interior immune system that kind of act like Pac-Man in there and break down different things that get that actually breach through the barrier immunity. Once it gets into your bloodstream, your lymphatic system, then you've got all these white cells and that get in play. And that's what we're trying to really strengthen those as well.
And what would be some ways that we could actually increase the strength of our cilia or our microbiome to help our immune systems?
Okay, so that's really interesting, too, because there's little things you can do. Your digestive tract, that moat, is constantly breaking down, same as your genitourinary tract and your lungs and your mouth. The moat or the mucosal membrane is constantly breaking down and rebuilding itself. In order to rebuild itself, it requires rest. So you have to get adequate rest, adequate sleep. The thing that inhibits its reproduction is stress, whether it be psychological or physical stresses. They're inhibiting the production, but they're also encouraging the breakdown of the mucosal tract. So stress, again, is a really serious thing to try to get it in control. So there you can do many things like yoga, meditation, walks in nature, or just focusing on your breath. Like you can do a count where you pretend that your breath is a box, and then on each side, so you breathe out, and then you hold for going up the vertical part of the box, and then coming back, you breathe in, and then you hold. And you pretend, you can even get a visual online, you can find, I think they're called a breath box or something like that. And what it'll do is it'll reset your system within literally a few seconds to a minute. You can put yourself from stress-type mode, which is inhibiting your immune system, back into parasympathetic mode, which is enhancing your immune system. So that's really crucial. Also, you can take different compounds and different foods, but mushrooms are well known to encourage a form of stress relief. Same as things like ashwagandha, some types of ginseng, rhodiola, and there's all sorts of different foods. Some things can encourage more stress. You know, a lot of sugar, for instance, because it's stimulating, that can encourage more of a stress response. Or caffeinated foods and drinks that can encourage stress response. So you want to try to minimize those if you're trying to work with the immune system. And then, like I said, encourage the use of all those different food compounds that can enhance your overall immune system, but also help you get a better handle of the stress response. Because again, this is really crucial here.
And what are some of the best mushrooms that we would look to, as well as the ashwagandha, rhodiola, but what are some of the mushrooms that would give us those properties of feeling the rest and digest?
Okay, yeah. So, you know that with our Immune 7 and Complete 360 products, we put a bunch of the mushrooms together, and they have a lot of research on them. So a couple that are for stress in particular are chaga and reishi. The Soviets did a lot of research on chaga to help you deal with stress. Whenever you deal with stress, you're enhancing your immune system, period. So if you can get a handle on your stress response and the way you instinctively react and try to get control of it, even just looking at it and using that breath technique, but using these mushrooms like chaga and reishi, they get your mind into a different, a relaxed state, but you're still clear-minded. It's not like certain drugs that people take where they just escape. That's not what it's like. It's you're more relaxed, but you're really clear-minded. But these also have a lot of research on just the immune system, because that's where the money is in some of these people doing research, is with certain types of the physical diseases. Then you have, say, for your nervous system, to try to get your nervous system in check if you have nervous system issues, lion's mane is another one. But for your immune system, a super powerful one, there's many, like shiitake, reishi, things like that, agaricus. But cordyceps, in particular with viruses, compounds in cordyceps called cordycepin and HEAA, they inhibit the actual replication of viruses. When they're trying to, so for instance, a virus needs to hijack your DNA. It has to get inside the nucleus of your cells, hijack the DNA, and then promote the DNA to manufacture more of the virus. So it's basically hijacking the machinery. In order to do that, though, a virus is basically doesn't have any repair mechanisms like a bacteria or cancer cells. They don't have very good repair mechanisms, so they depend on rapid division. Mm-hmm. But that makes them weak. Because if you can find something that will interrupt their division, they can't repair it, so it just stops the division. Whereas in a human, if something gets inside and we're manufacturing proteins, for instance, out of the DNA, mm-hmm. if something is improper and gets inside in the manufacture, we have excising techniques that will break that out and then restart it with the proper building blocks.
Right.
Viruses don't have that. Bacteria don't have that. Cancer cells don't have that. So this is where you can attack them. And this is where, say, compounds in cordyceps, the cordyceps and HAA, if DNA looks like a spiral, so imagine as a spiral staircase. You're building a spiral staircase. Imagine the rail mm-hmm. and the spindles. So you got the rail and the spindles.
Mm-hmm.
The spindles are like the base pairs that are joining together the information part of the DNA. And the rail is like the structural side case, the ribose structure. Well, in the case of cordyceps, the cordyceps and HEA, they embed and are similar to the building blocks in the ribose rail and then also in the base pairs. And so what that does, it is embeds in there and it immediately stops division.
Wow.
And so the more that you have circulating in your body of these polysaccharide compounds and these extracellular compounds from mushrooms and other different foods in that too, they actually are inhibiting and breaking up the very division of the virus, which is what the virus depends on to cause the clinical infection. For instance, you can have a case, you can have a few virus floating in your blood. That's not actually a clinical infection. So testing for that is not very accurate. You have to have the symptom profile.
Right.
That requires the numbers of the virus or whatever you were talking about. Bacteria,
Jason,
like that. Yeah.
Just hold that thought. We're going to have a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about immune function.